2 o'clock hour here on this Friday. Chase and Big Joe. No Big Joe. He's in the air headed to Reno. Nick Frazier is in the studio. Connor Newt behind the board. And I think he might have just hit his knee or something.
Yes. It hurts.
I have done that many times in that spot or this spot. Titans taking on the Rams on Sunday, the home opener. I do want to say this real quick because NFL Network is reshowing the Thursday night game between the Packers and the Commanders. And I just said to Nick, like, the Packers might be legit. I have them against the Bengals in the Super Bowl. I mean, that game last night was a little cringy at first. And then in the second half, Love and the offense just got going.
Yeah, I think once they start figuring out, now that Jaden Reed's out of the equation for a couple weeks, if they can get Matthew Golden going, like just target him one or two times in the first half and then just uncork a ball over the top in the second half, I think that's their missing puzzle piece to their offense, honestly. I mean, there was one over the middle. I think they were trying to get Golden on a vert route into the center of midfield, that is, and just missed him by a half a step when he laid out for it. But you're right. The Packers look incredibly good.
Yeah. And then what was funny, too, watching the Commanders and their side of things, you mentioned the offensive coordinator.
Cliff Kingsbury.
Cliff Kingsbury. And, like, they showed him, and I was like, damn, he's aged.
Yeah.
But like, he does not look like he did. Like, I don't know.
Not a spring chicken anymore.
No. Well, I mean, he's younger than me, I think.
Yeah, I think he's, like, 35?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. With the Titans. Are we concerned about this offensive line knowing that J.C. Latham is not going to play? Latham ruled himself out, basically. So who knows who's going to play right tackle? You know, Udo came in last week and was kind of a revolving door. Now, you know, that could have been a situation where you weren't expecting it. It's the first game. You get thrown in and all of that. And, you know, Sean Payton and Denver exploited that. Brian Callahan did say he's not the lock to be the fill-in, so we'll see. But it worries me not having Latham out there.
Yeah, and when Callahan says something like that, like he's not a for-sure lock, to me that's him kind of playing the word puzzle game,
yeah,
where he's trying to, you know, save face in a roundabout way for his job. I mean, it'll only backfire, obviously, if it doesn't work out, and it looks like it probably won't work out. But if you have Ollie Udo out there, or you mentioned Brennan Crenshaw-Dixon kid, I mean, if they can mold him quick, that'd be great. But it's going to come up in the hands of Bill Callahan. I think that's who's going to probably have to be answering questions when it comes to Monday.
I told you my fear is Jared Verse is going to feast. And I think,
yeah,
like, he's a young, dynamic player on the edge for the defense of the Los Angeles Rams. I just think if he breaks that hold and gets to the quarterback as often as I think he's capable of doing and as often as I think he could in this game, it's going to be problems. And we could have the potential of an injury for Cam Ward. And look, I know injury is a thing that can happen every day. Cam Ward could trip up the stairs and hurt his toe and not be able to play this Sunday if we're being realistic. But I worry about the safety of Cam Ward, especially if Latham is out, because I don't think this offensive line has shown me anything to say that they are this tight-knit unit that no defense can get around.
Callahan didn't commit to Ollie Udo being the starter in place of Latham. He mentioned Blake Hance and John Ojukwu as potential options. Ojukwu would be a call-up, I believe. Is he on the roster right now?
I think he
may
was,
be on there.
He might be. I thought he was on the practice squad.
Yeah,
yeah.
But one of them could be that. So that could be interesting. Also, Callahan said that receiver Van Jefferson and Chim Dike should play more snaps on Sunday after just 7 and 10 snaps respectively on offense in Denver. He said, quote, "I like what Chim has done. I think he's earned the right to have some opportunities too."
With that, I'm curious if Chim Dike starts to be more revolved around in the offensive scheme and taking out of special teams a little bit, does that open up a door for James Prochet
to come in special
teams?
Yeah, I think maybe. He has a special teams role. Like, I don't think you'll see him rotated into the offense. I think he'll just have more, like, maybe a gunner on special teams or something like that.
Right, but, like, he's a punt and kick
well,
returner.
Well, yeah, but that's what he's saying.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
if
no,
you
I
take
agree with
Chim
you.
Out, I don't know, and I'd love to hear Derek's thoughts on this because, I mean, Derek, in the early part of his career, did both. I mean, that was the way he got on the field, was doing both, and I feel like they go away from that. I mean, Lockett, I think, did it too. Wasn't Lockett a return guy?
In Seattle.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Pollard was with Dallas. So, I mean, you can play both roles, especially with the role you need ChimDK to play at receiver right now. So, but Prochet is a good one to have as kind of a backup. Jim Wyatt with a bit of an injury report. We already mentioned that Latham and Tavondre Sweat are both out. Running back Khalil Mullins with an ankle he did not practice yesterday or Wednesday, but he was back today. Arden Key practiced again. He's had a pec that he's been working through. Kevin Winston practiced once again. So could we see Kevin Winston make his NFL debut? Potentially. Quandre Diggs was back at practice. He did not practice, but Callahan did not update his status as of Friday. So we'll I'm sure get the, if we haven't already, the injury report for today, and then find out Sunday morning who's in, who's out.
Yeah, and I think a lot of those veteran guys you hear from in, you know, the secondary when it comes to Quandre Diggs or Xavier Woods or whatever, whoever it is, like, those are guys that are probably going to be looked at as questionable or limited in those Thursday or Wednesday practices just because of their age, just because mm-hmm. of where they're at in their career. They're just going to have to take some reps off, and they're more, Joe hates this, mental reps. You're going to have to take a lot of mental reps.
Yeah, he does hate that, but they do exist. So
he hates a lot of things.
He's an angry old man sometimes, but we love him nonetheless. He's not Rex Road angry. I mean, they both have different kind of old man yells at cloud.
I have old man yells at cloud. A lot of people don't like what I say about uniforms specifically.
Yeah, I disagreed with you on that.
That's okay. You can disagree. You're wrong, but you can disagree.
Indeed, you can.
I was trying to think. Dang, I had a good comeback, and then I second guessed myself, and now it's gone. We'll see. We'll see, young pup. We'll see.
You guys are great. I mean, we try. Just love it.
Defensively, I am curious of this matchup and how they try to exploit Stafford. Stafford looked okay last week, but first time he's really played. Obviously, he's dealing with the back, and as we like to say with Tim Hasselbeck, we've never met anybody that used to have a bad back.
No, we haven't. And so you make a good point about just trying to exploit Stafford. And I go to Connor for this because he's been all over Femi Oladeji when it comes to just evaluating him and how he's been this season. Connor, would you agree that this has to be a get-right game for Femi Oladeji?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think when you draft a guy at that position in the second round, you're saying, yeah, we want you to grow and you're a development piece, but you also expect results. And to this point in the preseason and through training camp and even through his first game, I haven't seen those results. Now, he did get some pressure against the quarterback, but when you go back and look at the blocking, there was no blocking there. So he looks great when no one has stepped in front of him and trying to block him and do their job, but to this point, I have seen nothing from Femi Oladeji to say that he is the level of player that they drafted him to be.
Yeah, I think it's still going to take some time with him, but and that's why they got beat up for it, because you don't spend a second-round pick on a project unless it's a quarterback, and I think that's what they did. Have I seen some flashes? Yeah, but again, it's a second-round pick. You need a second-round pick to kind of help you right away, so I don't know. I'm not sold yet.
I mean, looking from the defensive side of the ball and offensive side of the ball, if you just open up that lens and take a wide-eye view of it, Dan Moore Jr., who's had a lot of holding issues already. Last season he had that with Pittsburgh. You look at it this year already, had a few of those that were in crucial points of the game in Denver. Mm-hmm. You look at Femi Oladeji as a second-round pick, not contributing immediately. Kevin Winston Jr., still everybody projected him as a first-round prospect and probably is. We just haven't seen it yet. I think the whole knee thing, if he can kind of get that under wraps and be productive, maybe that's a diamond in the rough. But as of right now, you can't say any of this has been a success so far.
No, not yet. But
it's one a project.
Game. It's one game.
I'm not out on the whole regime of this Titans organization when it comes to, you know, Callahan, Borgonzi, Brinker, but I'm still on the fence about it. I'm still a little worried that this may not be, I wouldn't say the right answer, but it's not the right direction yet.
Yeah, I would agree.
No, I agree.
Oh, I thought you had more. No. Sorry.
Sorry.
That's my bad. Coming up next, we'll look at the rest of the NFL weekend, a couple of intriguing games as well. Plus, at 2:30, You guys want to play a college football contenders or pretenders game. I like that. We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe on this Friday, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. Connor Newt thinks he's a bad, bad man, like John Cena. This
with
is good.
With the mic in my hands,
yeah,
I'm a bad man.
He says a bad word in this song, too.
I know, that's why I had to get instrumental.
Yeah, that a boy. Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, in for Big Joe as he heads to Nevada to take on, as MTSU takes on the Wolfpack. Looking at NFL Week 2 and some games that are of intrigue. Obviously, the Titans and the Rams here. We had the Packers and the Commanders last night, which was pretty good. You know what I realized? That this is Joe Flacco's, I guess, return to Baltimore since leaving there. Because he's been talking all week about, they've been asking him about, you know, his time there and Lamar and all this stuff. And Lamar was like, yeah, he was a great teammate and yada, yada, yada. Even though Flacco said, like, yeah, we didn't really talk much. We don't really stay in touch.
Isn't it crazy how Flacco's been in the league that long? Like, Derek, yeah. He was playing with Derek Mason. I remember this quarterback when I was like five. I was like, holy cow, Joe Flacco still in the league?
Both teams at 0-1. I think the Ravens destroy Cleveland.
But, yeah.
You know Derrick Henry's going to be out for blood after a costly fumble the other night. You got the Jags and the Bengals, which I think could be an intriguing matchup because, you know, the Jags didn't look bad last week.
It was one of those games where I had to see if they were legit or not, if you know, Travis Hunter was going to be productive. It was primarily came down to Trevor Lawrence, if he was going to be a productive quarterback that game. And nonetheless, yeah, it's the, you know, Panthers, but what can you really get a good gauge on that game? That game was weird because it had that weather delay, so you couldn't get a real feel for the game and just all that, but I don't know.
The Bengals won, but they didn't look like they need to look.
Yeah.
It looked like, once again, they might be going, having a slow start.
Yeah, and I said this last week when it came to the Browns. It's a tough place to play on the road in Cleveland. I think that's primarily what it was, which is a tough place to play.
You also got the Cowboys hosting the Giants as the Cowboys look to bounce back after their loss. I think the Giants are awful, so give me Dallas there. Bears and Lions, both at 0-1, a divisional matchup.
I'm surprised Caleb Williams didn't finish out that game this past Monday night, and I think it was primarily because of Ben Johnson's play calling on those fourth down plays. I think if they go and grab those two field goals, that is, I think they win that game by 3 points, easy. It's just coming down to decision-making for the Bears. I think they have the intangibles to be a really good team. You know, it's in a very, you know, high-temperatured sports market, so they want to make sure things are, you know, all taken care of. But if you're a Bears fan, and I know Corey Curtis is a Bears fan, I think you got the intangibles to be a good team. It just comes down to decision-making. And I think that's what cost the Lions when, you know, everybody's like, oh, Dan Campbell going 4th-and-3 against the 49ers in the red zone. Maybe that wasn't him. Maybe it was Ben Johnson's decision-making.
Yeah.
You never know.
Looking at other games, Dolphins and Patriots both at 0-1. Are the Dolphins truly that bad? Patriots are fine. I didn't expect them to.
They're a Mike Vrabel team. Yeah. They look like a Mike Vrabel team.
Yep. But they'll be okay. Drake May will be okay. But, I mean, do they go down to Miami and just absolutely stomp a mud hole?
I mean, the Dolphins are bad.
They're terrible.
Like, Mike McDaniel might not. I think he might be the first coach to be fired.
He is the Vegas odds-on favorite as the first.
If it's not Callahan, it's probably him.
That's a good question, because there might be. So a list I got earlier in the week had Callahan as like fifth.
Interesting.
Really?
Yeah, it had the Browns coach, Stefanski, Daboll.
Oh, yeah, Daboll.
Was on that list. And then who else? There was another one that was also.
Canales?
Yeah, maybe Dave Canales.
I like Dave Canales.
He likes you, too.
Oh.
I guess.
A lot of people like me these days.
Hi, David. Hi, David James. He's back there. But, yeah, so that's that could be interesting. 49ers and Saints. 49ers, once again, have everybody hurt. including Brock Purdy.
I look at the Saints as one of the worst teams in the NFL. Like, I know that sounds crazy to say, but I know.
Yeah, I mean, that's why this – if you're going to have Brock Purdy hurt and Kittle hurt and McCaffrey, I don't think will ever be healthy again, this is the time to do it. By the way, Brock Purdy's brother is the quarterback for the Nevada Wolfpack, so Big Joe will see him tomorrow.
I wonder if they play the same.
Similar.
I think his name's Bubba Purdy. I think that's his name.
Chubba.
Chubba.
Yeah.
I knew it was something like that.
Nicknamed him Hubba Bubba in grade school.
Okay. Yeah.
Good one, Joe.
Connor, why don't you come back in here?
Yeah. Gladly.
Just pulled my Happy Gilmore 19th green joke out the window.
Seahawks or Bills at Jets. That could be an interesting one. I think the Jets are pretty bad. Seahawks at the Steelers. The Panthers will play the Cardinals. The Cardinals might be that surprise team. A lot of people are kind of picking them to be a surprise this year. The Broncos and the Colts and the Peyton Manning Bowl will happen. And then the game of the weekend, the Super Bowl rematch. I don't know why this isn't on Sunday night. Eagles and Chiefs.
Can they not flex that?
I don't think they can flex yet. Yeah.
What's the night game?
Falcons and Vikings.
Yeah, I'd rather watch Chiefs and Eagles.
And then we got two Monday nights this week. The Bucks at the Texans and the Chargers at the Raiders.
Two decent games on Monday night.
Yeah. The Raiders 1-0.
Pete Carroll's putting something together.
Yep. I think that could be interesting. They beat Vrabel. So
just keep an eye out in Arizona, by the way.
But Vrabel's the greatest coach ever.
Yeah, according to some. Here we go. First head coach. This is from Music City Bets sharing this. Mike McDaniel -400 to get fired first. Daboll at +650. Kevin Stefanski at +700. Dave Canales at +1,000. As are Brian Callahan and Raheem Morris.
Raheem Morris already.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't think he's. I think he'd be okay.
Well, if so, Raheem Morris and Callahan have the same odds.
And Dave Canales. They all are +1,000.
That's got to tell you something about Brian Callahan's job security, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd put him on a hotter seat than those two, to be honest with you.
Oh, I mean, I would, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe that's the local bubble, but you know.
But again, why? I don't know. I don't know if it's detrimental to Cam Ward to fire him midseason or go ahead and make the decision internally and just let him be a lame duck and then make it. Because, like, I look back and talking to people in Chicago, that's what happened to Caleb Williams. He essentially had three offensive coordinators in the past year as a rookie. Like, that's a lot.
And you don't want this to turn into a Marcus Mariota situation either, where he had three or four different coordinators in three or four seasons. You don't want that to happen. And I emphasized this earlier in the show with Cam Ward, and it's making those adjustments at the offensive line. If you can see that growth and development out of a quarterback there, I think that really tells you if you have the quarterback of the future. Seriously. I don't think it comes down to coaching for Cam Ward. I think he's got it. Mentally, he's got it. If he has that, and I think there was a tweet, let me find it real quick on my phone, from Dan Orlovsky, and it speaks volumes. He said, if you don't have a difference maker as a play caller in the NFL today, you won't survive as a team. The disparity is glaring. So, like, you look at that and say Brian Callahan, if he's not a good play caller, there's your glaring moment.
Well, I hope he knows what a catch is this week. I hope he's figured that out.
Let me ask you this real quick. If this is a lame duck situation and they're just like, Brian, finish out the year, do you think this is a complete waste of a season for Cam Ward? Like, we're just sticking him out there with a guy that's not going to end up developing him, and we know that internally?
I don't think it's a waste. Like, because you're still going to get better. You're still playing the games. Like, yes, the terminology is going to be different. The offense is going to change. But I don't think it wastes him necessarily, because the great ones overcome that stuff. And if he's going to be a great one, he's going to have to overcome that stuff.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, that's at the end of the day, like, we're going to find out how good Caleb Williams is. I don't think Caleb Williams is the guy. I've never thought that. I have been on from day one of, like, I think Jaden Daniels is going to be the best one out of that class, but we'll find out. Yeah, we will find out. Coming up next, contenders or pretenders in college football. Dr. Crane has prepared this exercise for us. We will do that. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. It's in the game, or it's on the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, the game. He's Nick Frazier, Connor Newt. I'm Chase McCabe. As Joe heads to Nevada, the Blue Raiders take on the Wolfpack. Pretenders, or contenders or pretenders in college football. Dr. Crane is going to throw out some teams, and Connor and I are going to give our expert analysis on this, on whether they're a true contender or a pretender.
Thank you very much. Yeah, first on the list, we're going through the top 25. Looking at Missouri. Missouri 2-0 right now, but are they contenders or pretenders?
I would lean towards pretenders because once they get into the meat of their SEC schedule, I think we're going to see them get exposed. Now, look, I think that Eli Drinkwitz has done a fine job at Missouri since he's been there. Mm-hmm. But I don't see them as a true top-tier contender in either the SEC or in college football as a whole.
That's fair.
What do you say, Connor?
I agree with you 1,000%. I think Missouri is an absolute pretender. I think the talent level over the past few years for their program has dropped off since they've lost Brady Cook, Luther Burden, that level of athlete. I think Eli Drinkwitz, I think he's a good coach for the level he's at. I don't think he'll ever get past the hump to where he was a couple years ago. I think he'll always be kind of a middle of the pack to lower tier SEC coach. So I think Missouri is a pretender.
I mean, real quick, you look at their South Carolina, and then they got to play Alabama, Auburn, Vanderbilt, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, Arkansas. That's their SEC schedule.
Yeah,
so
it's pretty tough for sure. Next on the list is another SEC team in Auburn. Is Auburn a pretender or a contender?
Pretender. I think they're a pretender. I think Hugh is still fighting for his job. They've done well the first couple weeks. But, again, show me the SEC schedule. Show me what you're going to do in the meat of the SEC.
Pretender, yeah. I think Hugh Freeze has kind of overachieved in the past couple weeks. I think it was more of a their win over Baylor was more of a testament to the level of Baylor's play rather than Auburn. I think Baylor's looked awful the past couple of weeks. Again, I think Auburn is just kind of a middle-of-the-pack SEC team from here on out.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sticking with the teams that are undefeated in the top 25, kind of make this a little easier process. Obviously, Indiana's at 22. I think we kind of are all on the same page where Indiana's at when it comes to being a contender or pretender.
Yeah.
The team I'm intrigued to get your opinions on is Texas Tech. They have outscored teams like 67-7, 64-12, all that stuff. Their schedule looks pretty decent. I mean, they only have one top 25 game against Utah coming up in 2 weeks. Are they contenders or pretenders?
I mean, I think based on their schedule, they're probably contenders. But again, what? It's time for weather on the eights.
but have anything these days, man.
But at the end of the day, do they get into the playoff? Let's say they beat Utah, they run the table. They're what, Big 12? They win the Big 12 and then get into the playoff and then just get – do they get boat raced by, a Texas A&M or Bama or Texas or whatever? I mean, so I would say by default, just because of the way the schedule falls, they're a contender.
Okay.
I'll say this. I think they're a contender on the Big 12 scale. I think they can contend within their conference because the Big 12 is such a wide-open conference that I think you have a scale of four or five teams that are – potential conference champions in that conference. That said, when they get to the playoffs and the big dance, if they get there, they're not all that. I think they'll get up against an SEC team or a Big Ten team and just get taken to the woodshed. So I'll say contenders on the conference scale, but on the national scale, I'd say pretenders.
Okay, getting to number 19, Alabama Crimson Tide, obviously falling to Florida State in week one and bounce back to a 73-0 win against UL Monroe. Can Alabama straighten out the tide and go not undefeated the rest of the way, but maybe lose another game? Would you consider them a contender or a pretender?
They're going to be 2-2 when Vanderbilt goes to Tuscaloosa because I think they have their way with Wisconsin, and then I think Georgia beats them because – again, if what I think is going to happen this weekend, Georgia's going to be coming off a loss. Mm-hmm. Georgia's going to be pissed off for greatness. It's at Georgia. and Bama has to go in there. So I think Bama's 2-2 by the time they take on Vanderbilt. And look, I would say that they should beat Vanderbilt, but if Vanderbilt's undefeated by the time that game comes around, then we could be having a different conversation about that. I'm going to say pretender right now until they prove otherwise.
Okay.
Losing to Florida State put them in that category, and that's their own fault.
I'll say everything he just said. You know, they're going to be 2-2 heading into Vandy. However, I think they can still be contenders. I think if they win out and win the games that they're not supposed to win, which you could say about every team in the nation, if they win out and win the games they're supposed to win and even the ones they're not supposed to win, then they're going to be back in the title scene, and the seat on Kalen DeBoer is going to cool down just a little bit. That is best case scenario, but I still think Alabama has the talent and the mentality that they can round out and be a contender on the national scene.
Okay. All right, a little rapid fire here through the next three of them. South Florida, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. Would you consider any of those contenders or pretenders?
Pretender, contender.
Ooh.
Ole Miss hasn't proved. Ole Miss could change my answer this weekend, but they got to prove it to me a little bit. Texas A&M's good.
Yeah.
Texas A&M's good.
I'll say contender, pretender, contender.
Really?
I think USF is probably at the head of the race for that G5 spot in the college football playoff. They haven't proven me wrong so far. Alex Golish looks like a good coach. I think he'll be at the forefront of Power 4 conversations at the end of the season for a coaching position. They've got a good young quarterback in Byron Brown. They've got a former Tennessee receiver, if I'm not mistaken, who's pretty good as well. I think they're a good team. Texas A&M's good. I like Marcel Reed, known acquaintance of mine. I think he is a fun quarterback. They're a fun offense, and I like Mike Elko. So I think those two are contenders. Ole Miss, I watched them play last week against Kentucky. They just scream 8-4 to me. They don't seem like the kind of team that's going to...
He's got to win something at some point. I love Lane, but he's got to win something at some point.
I think Lane's going to be... If things go bad for Alabama, like probably, you think they will, I think the choo-choo's coming to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, but he's... Oh, you think Lane would take that job?
Yeah.
See, I think he's looking at property in Gainesville.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not a bad look.
I think Golish is looking for property in Gainesville.
Well, we'll see. All right, do some more rapid fire.
Yeah, real fast. Tennessee, obviously being a state team.
Ask me on Monday.
Okay, all right, I'll do that. South Carolina, obviously we'll see with Vanderbilt.
Ask me on Monday.
Yep. One that I really want to get y'all's opinions on is Texas. Is Texas a contender?
Well, let's back up because you skipped one that I think needs to be addressed.
Florida State?
Clemson.
Oh, Clemson, okay. What do you think about Clemson, yeah?
I think they are, but they got to wake up. Because they got beat week one in a good game. They slept walk last week and got lucky. They need to wake up. And if they wake up, then I still think they'll be a contender.
I have Clemson in my national championship this game. I'm that high on them. I'm with Chase. They got to wake up. They have mass amounts of returning talent and experience on that roster. I think Cade Klubnik is a very, very good quarterback. It's just a matter of can Dabo wake the guys up? And I think he can. They play in an easy conference. They're pretty much, I don't want to say they're automatically ACC champions because anything can happen, but I think they're a tier above any other team in the ACC. So I think they are contenders. And how funny would it be if Dabo wins a national championship and just says, see, I don't need the portal. I can do whatever I want.
It would be interesting for sure. All right, the last couple we'll get to before we go to break. Looking at Texas, I wanted to ask you about that. Do they look like contenders or pretenders with Arch Manning?
I think they'll turn it around.
You think
so? Yeah, I do. Okay. Yeah. I think he had a bad first week. And that was a tough game. You're playing the defending national champions at their place.
You don't think he has an injury to
his
shoulder?
No. Okay. No. I just think he had a suck game.
That's true.
No, I think they're contenders as well. I don't think Arch Manning is the moon and the stars like Paul Feinbaum thinks he is. I don't think he's the second coming of Tim Tebow, but I think he is a solid quarterback, and I think he'll be just fine. And I think he's going to stick around for another year as well. So I think Texas has such a deep roster offensively, and Steve Sarkisian opened up the playbook a little bit more. Granted, it was against ULM, but he opened up the playbook a little more. And if he can keep doing that, then I think the offense will find its footing, and they'll be solid contenders heading into a college football playoff appearance.
Last two, Miami and LSU. Are they contenders or pretenders?
Right now, I would say both are contenders. I actually like Miami a lot. I don't like Beck, but I like Miami. Cristobal, he and Brian Kelly are in the same boat of, you know, the universities may not want to get rid of them, but the fan base and the boosters will if they don't do something. Right now, I would say the contender.
I would say they're both pretenders.
Ooh.
That's two coaches that will never win anything of note. They are always coaches that don't win the games that they're not supposed to win. Kind of like James Franklin. They don't win the games they're not supposed to. Which Penn State's another one you could
Penn
talk
State
about.
Frauds.
Yep. Agreed.
Fraud.
But on Miami.
With a capital F.
But on Miami and LSU, Cristobal and Kelly, those are two coaches that I think suffer from John Calipari syndrome, which is it's never my fault, it's always someone else's. And I think that gets them burnt. So I think they're both pretenders.
September 27th might be the best day of the year with college football. Penn State plays Oregon. Oregon's going to beat the you-know-what out of Penn State.
In Happy Valley?
In Happy Valley. Going to make them...
I think they'll win. I don't know if they're going to beat the brakes off of them, but I think they'll win.
I think they're going to get exposed.
The Ducks will fly, Connor.
Save the Ducks.
Save the Ducks.
Ohio State, I think, is for real.
Yeah. Yes. 1,000%.
LSU Florida is going to be a fun one coming up Saturday night. So
I agree.
Good stuff there. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. It's Chase and Big Joe on this Friday with Nick and Connor sitting in 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. We have teamed up with Pella Windows and Doors and the Nashville Humane Association for a puppy pet adoption tomorrow at Pella, 256 East Main Street up in Hendersonville from 10 to noon. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. I'm not quite there yet since losing my dog, but I have given some thought to it as of late.
Chase and Big Joe.
And as I didn't mute.
If I say Joe's not here, I don't know what that was.
It was me. Sorry about that. But anyway, just a thought and something to check out. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. Bum, 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 bum. Celebrity birthdays presented by Jarrett Companies, Inc. All of your commercial construction needs under one roof. JarrettCompaniesInc.com. Above and beyond industry standards.
Sorry, I'm doing like 8 different things at once right now.
I don't care. Don't need excuses.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is a great day. You know why? Because today is National Video Game Day.
Oh, nice.
Celebrate accordingly. It's also National Chocolate Milkshake Day. So go get you one. I might go get one after this. I'm actually starving.
Does your milkshake bring it? Never mind.
Bring all the boys to the yard. It's National Day of Encouragement. So whatever you're trying to encourage someone.
We're not doing that on this show. So
encourage what? It's National Police Woman Day. So shout out to all the police women throughout the mid-state, I guess. It's National Report Medicare Fraud Day. So, Frazier, you and I are going to have to have a talk.
That's a big issue right now.
Yeah. Tell Nani to stop reporting false Medicare issues. And it's also United Nations Day for South-South Cooperation. So I hope South Carolina and South Florida can come to terms or something. That's okay. It.
Okay. All right. For the celebrity birthdays, first one.
Must get it within two.
Yes, must
so
get within
be
two.
Me versus Connor today. You're doing birth. You're actually
facilitating.
I know.
Yeah,
I
this
love
is
it.
Crazy. Let's see. Singer Ben Folds.
I'm gonna say he is 44.
I think he's older. 51.
59.
Jeez.
Next
Ben
on
Folds five, baby.
There you go. Next on the list, we have singer Jennifer Nettles.
Of Sugarland. Jennifer Nettles, 52.
60.
51. Chase is on the board. There we go. 1-0. Next on the list, we have Jennifer Hudson, another singer.
Who? 45.
49.
44. Chase up 2-0. Quick here. Let's see.
I'm
going
keeping
down
up
a
with
little
it
bit.
For you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Actress Emmy Rossum. She is in, let's see, is there anything she's in? Once dated Counting Crows singer Adam Duritz.
39. Yeah.
I think you guys might be able to get this one. Let's see. Singer-songwriter Kelsey Ballerini.
She is 28.
31.
32. Connor's on the board.
Nice.
Okay. My girl.
Another one on the list here.
You wish.
An actress by the name of Sydney Sweeney. She's been seen in a lot of movies and TV shows. Go ahead.
My girl. Sydney Sweeney, her birthday's today?
That is correct.
Happy birthday, sweetheart. See you soon.
There you go.
What every guy is saying right now.
Go buy some jeans.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave that alone. She is 29.
Okay.
27.
It's a push. She's 28.
28.
So that's close, but no cigar there. Let's
David's
see.
David's like, I knew.
Next on the list, we have comedian Louis C.K.
Oh.
He turns an age today.
You almost said it, didn't you?
Almost. Did not. Almost.
Louis C.K. 70.
Ooh. 61. 58.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Let's see, a little bit down on the list here. There's a lot of them. Actor Alfie Allen. He was in Game of Thrones.
48.
Where's Jake Lyman when I need him? 42.
39. All right, on to sports birthdays here. First on the list, NBA basketball player, plays for the Brooklyn Nets, was drafted by the Memphis Grizzlies, Zaire Williams. How old is Zaire Williams today?
32.
24.
And it just left the computer. That's not great. Sorry about that. He is 24. What did you say, Chase?
32.
And he said 28. Yeah.
20. No, I said 24.
Oh, he said 24. Oh, okay. He's on the nose. Okay, so that's 2 points.
Don't try to cheat me.
I'm not. Sorry. I got a little flustered because the computer wasn't cooperating. Next on the list, we have baseball player, plays for the Los Angeles Dodgers, Freddie Freeman. How old is Freddie Freeman today?
Still get sad about this. Freddie is 37.
Okay.
39.
36. Chase is on the board again. Was that 3-3? Is that correct?
Yep. I almost said 36, too.
Okay, down to the final sports birthday, and I have a tiebreaker if need be. Former Colts quarterback Andrew Luck, who is now the general manager for the Stanford Cardinal.
35.
37.
It's a push. He is 36. Okay, on to the tiebreaker here. I don't know if you guys will get this one, but we'll go with it. Another basketball player, Ahmad Kaver. He plays in the LNB Pro A, which I believe is...
Wrong game, Frazier. Wrong game.
I know. Yeah. Sorry. Wrong game. I know. Born. Oh, I can't say what year he was born, but how old is Ahmad Kaver?
I don't know who the hell that is, so I'm going to say 30.
Okay.
I don't know who that is. 32.
29. Chase wins on the buzzer.
Yay.
There we go.
Oh,
good,
man.
Good job by me. Yeah. How about that?
The sports birthdays are a little difficult trying to gather up here. So that was a tiebreaker, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, good job. Good job by both of you filling in today. Big Joe will be back in the saddle on Monday, as will we. DVD is coming up next, as we always end our show. We've made it to the end of the week, guys and girls. Mental health, obviously, is very important. If you are not feeling yourself and need to talk to someone, 988 on your cell phone, or, of course, you can reach out to us. You can go to thegamenashville.com, click on the Chase and Big Joe page for more information on that as well. But we want you here. We need you here. We love you. And as we always say, God loves you as well. That is going to do it for us. Have a happy and safe weekend. DVD is next here on 102.5 The Game.